as we go on this morning. So we're going to talk today about a begging mother or sanctified stubbornness. I know that's kind of an unusual title, sanctified stubbornness, but I think you'll understand as we go through the message this morning. Would you stand, please, and give reverence to God's word? It's not changing. Am I going to be able to do it or not? I did that one. It was delayed, I'll tell you. All right, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." I'm going to really key in on one phrase in there. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You may be seated. In the city of Tyre, and its history is fascinating. In antiquity, half of the city was located on a mainland, and the other half was located on an island about a half mile offshore. And that city, that island city, was able to withstand attack after attack after attack. In fact, they said that there was no way to take that island city. Some interesting history about that. Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the first king of Tyre, was born there. We know some things about Jezebel from the Old Testament. And then also the Old Testament prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, and Zechariah all predicted the destruction of Tyre and its neighboring city of Sidon. So one of the things I find really fascinating, when Satan's origin is unveiled, he is actually pictured as the king of Tyre in Ezekiel chapter 28. So what that tells us is that Satan ruled Tyre through its earthly leader. So my point in all this today is to show you that it was a stronghold. It was a evil stronghold. And the Phoenician city of Tyre literally means rock. And the Lord spoke in Ezekiel 26, saying, "I am against you, Tyre. I will bring many nations against you like the sea casting up its waves. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and pull down her towers. I will scrape away her rubble and make her a bare rock." That and many other predictions were fulfilled exactly the way Ezekiel said it would happen. The very foundation of the city, the stones, the timber, and the dust of the city were literally cast into the water in Ezekiel 26:12. In fact, there's a list there. I don't know if you can see them, but those are just some of the prophecies concerning Tyre. And mathematician Peter Stoner says the probability that every one of those prophecies about Tyre would be fulfilled exactly as stated, you take into account all the details, he says the odds of that are 1 in 400 million. Basically, cannot be done. Could never happen. And yet it was. At first, Nebuchadnezzar came against the city, and then Alexander the Great came and finished off what Nebuchadnezzar had started. And when Alexander began to attack the city, the island city, he was able to defeat it in 7 months. And today, the ancient city of bustling commerce still lies silent in ruins. The surrounding area has been rebuilt, but the original rock is a mute monument to God's awesome judgment and the unerring accuracy of his word. Bible prophecy and these things, we don't need them to have belief and faith in God's word. But I sure tell you, it does solidify these things that we believe. One of the greatest things that you can do when witnessing to people is to show them the Bible predicted things hundreds of years, even thousands of years in advance, and have come to pass exactly like he said they would. So why do I mention all this today? What does this have to do with Mother's Day anyway, right? Well, because we are going to meet a mother this morning who is entire. And she has a demon-possessed daughter And in the midst of this evil stronghold, she comes and begs Jesus to heal her daughter. And so that's what we want to talk about today. The accounts are complementary between Matthew and Mark about this story, this Syrophoenician woman or mother of Tyre. If we put these together, we can understand the whole story. Matthew wrote, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Somehow this woman knew that Jesus was the Lord and that he could deal with demon-possessed people. And she was frantic. She was frantic and with anxious desperation for her daughter. Everyone who's had children know what it's like to see your children sick. And there are many times that we pray for our children. There have been times when, if they're very sick, we would even be willing to say, "Lord, take my life, but let my child live. You know, if you want to take me to heaven, go ahead if you need to." Because there's no pain like a parent's pain for their children. And well, apparently this woman followed Jesus down the street with her cries. But verse 30 or 23 says, Jesus did not answer her a word. And so his disciples came to him and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps crying after us." But this mother followed him right into the house. As Jesus went through the door, she went right in the side of the door right after him. And in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 26, it says that Jesus went into this vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Cyrenian Phoenicia. She begged, and I want you to look at that word, begged. She begged. Guess what that word means in Hebrew? Begged. She begged. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. And when Jesus did, or not Hebrew, I was Greek, I'm sorry. You know what I meant. When Jesus did speak to her, he something totally out of character for him. Something startling. You go back to Matthew's account in Matthew 15, Jesus answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she replied. And he said to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." The account in Mark is very similar to that. Jesus said, "First, let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to dogs." The better translation of that for dogs is probably puppies. These were household pets. These weren't scavenger dogs. And so Jesus was saying, "My dear woman, my mission is to Israel and to these disciples. That's my first priority. That's the reason I was sent. The mission to the Gentiles will come later. You won't be left out. But my first reason for coming is to Israel." And we learn after his resurrection, he would send his followers out into all the world. It was not combined, just focused just on Israel anymore. But the gospel was to go wide and far. It was to go into all the earth. But even Paul said it was offered to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So Jesus is basically saying to her, "Wait your turn." Now, misunderstanding the purpose for the life of Jesus on this earth has caused a lot of errors and a lot of heresies, which I'm not going to go into today, but I want to go into those in a couple of weeks. But there's more here than meets the eye. And I just have this personal feeling that there are many believers in the church today are trying to carry out parts of the law in order to receive the earthly blessings. They're seeking these Jewish earthly blessings, and we understand that they were given in the context of Israel. We can't bring Israel's blessings into the church. By the way, if you didn't hear Sharam, if you didn't get a chance to hear him Thursday night, you really missed out on not being here. It is recorded. It's going to be somewhere. But I was just blessed by his ministry, and he was talking all about this replacement theology. And there are ditches that you can fall in on either side of the road if you don't put the scripture in the context and understand what Jesus was doing here with his first coming and what his plan is in the future. So what the law is portrayed here, and we understand today that we live under a time of grace. And this mother was seeing that there was a time when grace was going to be poured out, even on people like her, even on the Gentiles. So Jesus, first let the children eat all they want, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the puppies. And I think he probably said that with a smile, maybe with even a wink of his eye. But his smile grew even wider when he heard the woman's amazing response. She replied, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Even the dogs under the table, even us little puppies, eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And I would paraphrase this way. "What an answer," he said. "I haven't run into this kind of stubborn faith in all of Israel." Matthew tells us that the daughter back home was healed at that very moment. And Jesus commended the woman, the mother, for her great faith and kindly told her to go on home because her request was granted. And going home, she found her child lying on the bed and the demon was gone. And one commentary said, Jesus saw in the ministry to the woman a preview of the Gentile mission. And in the response of the woman, a preview of the acceptance of the gospel by those Gentiles. James Edwards wrote, "She appears to have understood the purpose of Israel's Messiah better than Israel does. Her pluck and persistence are a testimony to her trust in the sufficiency and surplus of Jesus. His provision for the disciples in Israel will be abundant enough to provide for such a one as herself." So what is the lesson? What is our takeaway here today? Well, one lesson here is that when you pray with sanctified stubbornness, the Lord answers that prayer with satisfying grace. Let me say it again. When you pray with sanctified stubbornness, the Lord answers with satisfying grace. There are some things that this Canaanite woman can teach us about her prayer. And it's moms, it's for you because she's a mom, but it's actually for any of us because we can all learn to pray with sanctified stubbornness. We can all learn to pray the same way. The disciples, they complained about it, saying, "She keeps crying after us, send her away." But she was not going to be deterred. She just kept it up. She kept it up. She kept it up. And even after Jesus chided her, she didn't give up. She was a mother that was absolutely not going to be denied, and she would not take no for an answer. And you know what? That seems to be the kind of quality that God looks for in our prayer life. There are times when God says that you need to be persistent. You need to ask and keep on asking. You need to seek and keep on seeking. You need to knock and keep on knocking. There's a remarkable passage in Isaiah 62 about how the prophet Isaiah continually interceded for Jerusalem and asked others to do the same. He said in Isaiah chapter 62, he said, "Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest. All you who pray to the Lord and give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth." That might be one of the most vivid passages in all the Bible about praying persistently. Now, here's what I want you to do, moms. Imagine putting the name of your son or your daughter or your loved one in the place of the name Jerusalem and Zion. and begin to pray for them and say, because I love this person, and call them by name. Because I love this person, I will not keep silent. I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying until his or her righteousness shines like the dawn. I will take no rest as I pray to you, Lord. I will give you no rest until you complete this work. Well, that's what the Canaanite woman did. She gave the Lord Jesus no rest, and I personally think that this was his little vacation spot, because he's out of Israel. It's the only miracle in the Bible Jesus performs outside of Israel. I think he's going there for a time of rest, but she would not give him any rest until he answered her prayer. Luke 18, verse 1 sums it up this way. We should always pray and not give up. And so this woman, she, number one, prayed with sanctified stubbornness. Secondly, this woman had someone on her heart. Her prayers were prayers of intercession for her daughter. It's perfectly agreeable to the Lord if you pray about your own needs. Nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we cannot underestimate the prayer and the power of interceding and praying for others. George Verwer, in the 1970s, he was a legend. He started a global movement known as Operation Mobilization. Anybody ever heard of that? Or are you too young for me? Operation Mobilization. I recently learned how he came to Christ. As a teenager, he lived in Ramsey, New Jersey, and he went to Ramsey High School, where he was outgoing and very popular. Directly near the high school, almost across the street, was the home of a woman named Dorothea Clapp. And she prayed for the students at that school. She would look out her window, and as the children walked by, she would pray for them. She had no direct contact with the students, but she would pray for every student who walked past her window. And one of those students was George Verwer. And he was starting his sophomore year, and she prayed for him every day as he walked past her house. She prayed for him twice a day as he walked past to go to school, and as he walked past to go home from school. She even asked the Lord to put a calling on that man's life, that boy's life, to be a missionary. Lord, make him a missionary, she prayed. And one day she sent many of the students copies of the New Testament through the mail. And George later said that he read that New Testament that she had sent him on and off. In the spring of 1955, a friend invited George to go into New York City with him to attend an event. And there would be a special speaker at this event, and his name was Billy Graham. And the event was held in Madison Square Garden, and that evening George Verwer responded to the invitation to come forward and to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord of his life. He came back to school for his senior year, and he was elected student council president. He used his position to distribute 1,000 copies of the Gospel of John throughout the student body. And when he had the opportunity of speaking to the whole school, 120 of his fellow students came forward to pray and receive Christ as their Savior. And that was the beginning of a lifetime of evangelism for George. And later, George gave Dorothea the credit for his conversion, saying that she had put him on the Holy Spirit's hit list. I like that. Well, when when God lays somebody on your heart, a George or whoever it is, and you begin to pray for that person, you just don't know what's going to happen. But the Lord lays people on your heart for a reason. Moms, you might be here today. There's a son or a daughter, grandchild on your heart. God has put him or her on your heart for a reason. He wants you to pray, and he wants you to pray stubbornly, and he wants you not to quit, and he wants you to pray specifically, Lord, make my child, make my grandchild to shine, to demonstrate your glory. So be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and pray this the way this Canaanite woman prayed for her daughter. And thirdly, she prayed with humility. She prayed with humility. She wasn't offended or put off by what Jesus said to her. One of the greatest prayers in the English language was a prayer that was written by Thomas Kramer. It is the first book of Common Prayer. I know we don't use liturgy. We don't usually read from prayer books and things like that. But sometimes I do find those kind of interesting and inspiring. And it's, this Common Prayer book has this prayer, and it's based on the story in Mark. And over the centuries, millions of people have prayed it as they observe the Lord's Supper. And this is what the prayer says. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. See how I got the two stories together here, or the story with communion. We are not worthy, Lord, not so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. What a wonderful prayer that is. Now, if you ever receive some crumbs under the Lord's table, how blessed you would be. But God goes beyond that, and he treats us as his children. No wonder Jesus said that we ought to pray and not faint. To you parents, he said, if your child asks for a loaf of bread, do you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, do you give him a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And then finally, this Canaanite woman can help us to learn the famous Jesus prayer. It's not a large part of our Protestant tradition. It actually comes from the Orthodox Church. It comes from Orthodox Christianity. The Jesus prayer has been prayed for centuries. It's only 10 words in English, and it's 7 words in Greek or Russian. This is the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. How many of you think you could memorize that prayer? Even those of us who don't memorize very well, I think, can memorize this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Doctors pray this prayer before surgery. Students pray this prayer before exams. Families pray this prayer in times of danger or distress. Eddie Lyle was the president of the missions organization, Open Doors. You might have heard of that. Open Doors in the United Kingdom, specifically in Ireland. And he wrote about spending time with a friend, Abdullah. Abdullah was a monk in the Syrian Orthodox Church. And one evening, the two men took a walk, down the shores of the Mediterranean coast in Lebanon. And Abdullah said, the patriarch of the Orthodox Church had asked him to lead a team of archaeologists to a holy site in northern Syria. Their mission was to rescue artifacts and treasures before ISIS could come and destroy them. So just as his team crossed into Syria, the convoy was stopped by a group of hooded men. And Abdullah said, we were blindfolded and we were taken to a hideout. There they imprisoned us underground and they interrogated us ruthlessly. We spent every day and night in complete darkness. The only way that we knew who was still alive was when we prayed together, we recognized each other's voices. Every day they were coming and they were executing some of our number. A number of the group was killed, and the killings continued until there was only 4 of us left. And then a rescue plan was initiated by the Syrian Special Forces and on the direct orders of President Assad. The ordeal was brought to a sudden end, and obviously some heavy level diplomacy had went on and taken place there. But Elijah listened to that story. And then he said he asked Abdullah a question. How did you pray under the hood? How do you pray when you're in that kind of captivity? Abdullah paused and he looked at Eddie and he asked, do you know the Jesus prayer? It's one of the oldest prayers in Christendom. Let me teach it to you, he said. First, he prayed in Aramaic, Jesus' own earthly language, and then he prayed in English. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. That prayer saved me, Abdullah said, and it has a special place in the Eastern Orthodox Church. Now you pray it. And so Eddie did. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, Son of God, have mercy on me. Do you know where we get this prayer? We get it from the Canaanite woman. We get it from her. Now she prayed, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. She's one of the handful of people who prayed, and we have their prayer recorded for us in the Gospels. She's one of the few people, I think she's the only person in the book of Mark that referred to Jesus as Lord. And her great prayer was, Lord, have mercy on me. And so I've been learning to pray this prayer, and I suggest it to you here as well today. There are times when you don't have a lot of time to pray. And sometimes you just don't know what to say. But this is something you could very simply say at any time. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Now we change it from Son of David, as the Canaanite woman prayed it, to from the messianic title for the Savior for Israel, to the Son of God, the Savior of the whole world. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Would you say that with me this morning? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. There are times, I'm telling you, it is going to be the perfect prayer to pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Somewhere in the vicinity of ancient Tyre, near the pristine coast of the Mediterranean Sea, in the house of a friend, Jesus encountered a mother with a desperate need that would not be denied. And under the roof of that house, a lesson comes forth and descends on down through the ages to your house and to mine. When you pray with sanctified stubbornness, the Lord answers with satisfying grace. Amen? Amen. Could I have your heads bowed this morning? We're going to have communion here in just a moment. Don't shut that down. I got one more slide. And I'm not going to ask for any hands today, but I just want to give you a couple of moments. Maybe you're here today and there's a prayer request that is heavy on your heart. And God is telling you today, I don't want you to give up. I want you to keep praying. I want you to be stubborn. When it comes to this prayer, I want you to be stubborn. Would you just go to the Lord right where you're at and pray this prayer? Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me in this situation. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on my son, my daughter, my grandchild, my husband, my wife. And just express that to him this morning. Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy. Father, I thank you today that you're hearing our prayers. They're a very simple prayer as we lift it up to heaven today. And we know that you hear us. that nothing can silence our prayers, but they go directly into your ear. What a thought that is, that we have an ear with the one who rules the universe. Thank you for hearing our prayer today. Thank you that you go beyond hearing and you answer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody wanted to get Steve back from Children's Church. We're going to bring him in, and we're going to have communion at this time. So the guys want to come to help with communion. That would be great. I didn't set anybody up today, so I don't know what we got here. Thanks, Jamie. Gluten-free crackers are, well, you know what, I'll hold them. All right? So, Father, we just ask your blessing upon this time of communion today, Lord. And as we gather at your table, Lord, we thank you for the abundant blessings, not just the crumbs, but, Lord, the many manifold blessings that you give us. And most importantly is the gift of eternal life and salvation, the forgiveness of sins through you, our Lord Jesus Christ. These things we pray, amen. So Pat and Sheila will sing. If you guys could just make your way. We serve an open communion. You don't need to be a member of this church. If you receive Christ as your Savior, would you please come?
I know a place, a wonderful place, where accuse and condemn find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with him there on the cross. At the cross he died for our sins. At the cross he gave us life again. I know a place, a wonderful place, where accuse and condemn find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with you there on the cross. At the cross you died for our sins. At the cross you gave us life again. At the cross you died for our sin. At the cross you gave us life again. I know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with him there on the cross. At the cross he died for our sin. At the cross he gave us life again. I know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with you there on the cross. At the cross you died for our sins. At the cross you gave us life again. At the cross you died for our sins. At the cross you gave us life again. Praise God.
Amen. What a beautiful song. What Jesus did for us on the cross. What an abundant life he offers. I tell you, the Christian life would be worth living if it was just for the crumbs. And it only gets better. We have a heaven, a home in heaven that awaits us that is beyond anything that we could ever even imagine. And so the Apostle Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Before we eat the cracker, which represents our Lord body, I would like us to read this prayer together from the First Common Book of Prayer. Ready? "We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own riches, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy." Let's eat of the cracker together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then in the same manner, he took the cup after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And Father, we thank you for this cup and your precious life blood that was shed for us to give us life and eternal. And we know that the life is in the blood. And it's your blood that was shed that grants us the everlasting life that has been promised. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The guys will pass the, come around if you want to give them your cups, pass them to the center. And Steve Rannis has a special song.
In my quiet time, I've been stuck in the book of 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy is all about what a mentor shares with a person who's following behind. I can think of no better example for moms in what they do for their children and in fathers for what they do for their homes.
Watch the waves they never cease. Truth and time they beg release. Hold your heart where wisdom flows. Keep the fire as the calling grows. Hold on close, do not let go. Through the dark let your light show. Every step an echo rings. Faith will guide through all life brings. Walk the edge where shadows dwell. Hear the whispers of the well. Life and doctrine hold them near. Persevere through every tear. Hold on close, do not let go. Through the dark, let your light show. Every step an echo rings. Faith will guide through all life brings. Every word a spark of flame. Every action heals the same. For yourself and ones who hear, hold the truth, keep courage clear. Hold on close, do not let go. Through the dark, let your light show. Every step an echo rings. Faith will guide through all life brings. Life brings. Faith will guide through all life brings.
Amen. That was the same type of message as we had from God's word this morning. Just hang on. Don't let go. Don't give up. So I would like to say that Rick Pafer's mother passed away this morning, so keep them in your prayers. And then one of the things that really blessed me was seeing Amber Cater come up to take communion today. I said, somebody would have served you. Continue to pray for her as she recovers from an accident. She's here today by only the grace of God, for sure. So we would like to honor the moms, and I want to honor my wife, first of all, with a big happy birthday and happy Mother's Day. So. So with all the moms, please, if you're able, come forward. If you're not, we can make sure you get your gift another way. Today you get a flower and a rose. And thanks so much to Annette Stauffer in the Baldwin Greenhouse. They're beautiful flowers. Just go ahead and take one of each. I want the one in the middle there.
Where's the middle?
Just easy. You're fine. Yeah, no, you're fine. Woodville's would be Sutton Mai. Woodville's would be next
it's
week.
Sutton Mai, yeah.
Yes.
So 17.
Okay, so it's Woodville next week.
Yeah.
We've got that figured out.
Just thought of that.
I don't know. Sorry, I just remember it's the May 17th-ish.
Okay.
For Woodville. Is this Baldwin here? It used to be Junebug Days and Let's Go Dutch Days. So I think that's in June.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so.
Last year,
was
it a
junior?
I don't know what week, though.
So I guess I'll get the details from Jen, and then I'll put it on the church Facebook page.
Yeah, after the parade.
Yeah. I have to message her.
I color coordinated.
Yes, you did. Oh, you're fine. Hey, how you doing, Kathy? I'll shut this
so
off.
Much better.
Good, good. Praise the Lord for that. All right, did all the moms get one now? I should have said, if you're visiting today, you can still have a flower and, you know, a plant. If you didn't get one, come up afterwards. So, did Amber get one? Yeah, she came up, right? She's up here, all right. Yes, make sure she gets what she wants. No, I...
Everybody's taller than Carol.
Okay. Let me pray so I can get out of the way. All right. Father, we're so grateful for all of these outstanding ladies. Moms, what a blessing they are to each and every one of us, and a blessing to our church, and a blessing to your church at large. I pray that you would watch over each and every one of them. I pray a special blessing upon their life. And I ask, Lord, that you would give them the desires of their heart. And Lord, I pray for a very prosperous year in you this year, this coming year. Lord, that they would see answers to prayers, perhaps things that they have been praying about for years, that those answers would come to fruition this year. Watch over each and every one of them and help them to know that they are loved and they are appreciated so much. And we honor them today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I can get out of there. Okay. Trying to get out of the way.
Now don't fall down.
No, I won't get out of there.
You can get it. We don't mind.